Kedvach, we hope you had an enjoyable Shabbos. We continue with our study of Nachyomi as we do every single day. Lulei Nishmas Abi Mori, Rav Hillel ben Meir Yechiel Mechel Areini, Kaparas Mishkavo, and of course, the late, great Rabbi Jerry Acker, Zichrono Livracha. We today are in Sefer Melachim Aleph, the end of Sefer Melachim Aleph, of course, with Perek Chabez. And in the merit of Achav's humbling himself, like we saw yesterday, Malchus Yisrael gets 3 years of peace. Now, Am Yisrael are going to be punished by Aram, but Achav's tshuva postponed that, and so King Yehoshaphat, together with the Beis Din of Malchus Yehuda, had begun for ways to draw Malchus Yisrael back to Avodas Hashem. And so the first step was a covenant between the two kingdoms. Then they tried to marry Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, to a daughter of Achav, who was a different wife than Izebel, or a daughter of a different wife than Izebel. So Yehoshaphat noticed a change in Achav after all that Elio had done, and so he decides to go visit Achav, thinking it might help him advance still further in tshuva. But unfortunately, that visit tends to pick up Achav's gava as he begins speaking to his servants about Ramos Gilead. And this is the city of Malchus Yisrael that Aram had taken from Omri, who was Achav's father. Now, Aram had not returned Ramos Gilead as part of the deal to let Ben-Hadad live. So now Achav was hinting that he's going to go take the land by force. So after having been defeated twice, Ben-Hadad would not have instigated the war with Achav, but Hashem put the idea to take the land into Achav's heart so that he'd be punished for freeing Ben-Hadad after being told to kill him. So Achav decides to do this now because he saw that he could rely on Yehoshaphat, whose help he was now going to request. So will you set out with me to do battle in Ramos Gilead, he asks him, and Yehoshaphat says he's ready to do whatever was needed to unite all of Am Yisrael together, and he and his army would fight as this was their own battle. I'm the same as you, ani kamoni kamocha, my people like you, my horses are like your horses. And Yehoshaphat was unaware that Eliyahu HaNabi had decreed against Achav. Had he known, he would have told him, no way, Jose. And some people explain that Yehoshaphat might have known, but after seeing Achav's tshuva, he thought that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made a change. That at least is the suggestion of the Chidah. But Yehoshaphat would only go to battle if they first sought Devar Hashem. And so he told Achav they have to ask a shayla, even if there was something that Achav doesn't normally like to do. And that was the way that Yehoshaphat did things in his life. First he would make sure it was correct in the eyes of Hashem, and then he would proceed. So Yehoshaphat saw this as an opportunity to engage Achav to take that big step forward. Achav turns around and he brings 400 Nevi'ei Habal, and he asks if he should make a war against Aram, and they told him to go, and Hashem would deliver Aram in their hands. And they spoke in the name of Hashem so that Yehoshaphat would think that they were talking Nevi'ei Emes, but realizing that these were not Nevi'ei Hashem, Yehoshaphat says, isn't there at least one Navi? Or did Izebel go ahead and kill all of them? And if there was one, they would have to go see him. So Achav says, look, there is a Navi, Mechiyahu ben Yimla, but Achav said that Mechiyahu was not going to say give a good one. He hated Achav, because he was the one who was sent to go tell him about how Achav was in trouble. Yehoshaphat tells Achav, listen, it doesn't work that way. Whatever Hashem puts in the mouth of the Navi, that's what they're supposed to say. And so he says that the Navi would never change his Nevuah because he hates or because he's angry. He just understands that that's what he has to do. That's the rules. And so Achav's sermon says, okay, he's going to send one of his servants, and he orders Mechio to be brought to him, and he wanted the Navi to be brought quickly so he wouldn't have a chance to collect his thoughts, and he assumed that Mechio would not get Ruach HaKodesh. And so he would just simply agree to what the Nevi HaShekher was supposed to say. So Achav and Yehoshaphat are sitting on their thrones at the entrance of the gates of Shomron, and they're wearing their royal garments, and the Nevi HaShekher are sitting there saying whatever they're saying, and they're facing each other in a half circle to show that there's peace between them. And sure enough, this seating arrangement also seems to reflect that each understood the other as each spoke. So Tzidkia ben Kenana speaks up. He's one of the heads of the Nevi HaBaal, and he turns around, and he makes an set of iron horns, and he says to Hashem, "Be'ela tenagach es Aram," that he's going to defeat Aram by goring with these horns. And the other Nevi HaShekher said the same thing, they should fight for Ramos Gilead, they would win. Well, the messenger that goes to the Navi Hashem gets to him, and he says all of the Nevi'im were offering prophecy for the good of the king, and that his words should be the same, and Mechio says, whatever Hashem tells me, that's what I do. And Mechio comes to Achav, who asks him if the people should go to Ramos Gilead. And the Navi answers, May they be matzliach, and maybe it be the will of Hashem that they be delivered into your hands. So Achav recognized that Mechiyo was not saying the word of Hashem, he was just giving him a bracha. So he makes him swear to tell the whole truth, not just give him a bracha. And so Achav was concerned that the Navi was afraid to tell the truth, and so he made him swear, knowing that he would not use Hashem's name in vain. So he says, look, the bottom line is, says Mechiyo, I've seen all of Am Yisrael spread out, like they have no roeh, their leader is going to be no more, and each person will go home to his tent in peace. So Achav turns to Yehoshaphat and he says, you see, he hates me, he'll never say anything good about me, that can't be the word of Hashem. And Achav tries to prove that Mechiyo's words were not nevuah, because Eliyahu had said something differently about how he would die. Eliyahu told him he was going to die in Yisrael, and Mechiyo says he's going to die in Ramos Gilad. So how could it be the same thing? So therefore Mechiyo was simply trying to frighten him. And Mechiyo tells Achav, since he suspected him of making up nevuah, he'd explain why, where it came from, so he would be able to see that what he's saying is the truth. Mechiyo says that he saw Hashem's Kisei HaKavod with the Shechina resting upon it, and the Malachim was standing on the right, stating the merit, and the Malachim on the left, they were the Mekatrim, and they were all judging Achav. And Hashem said, who's going to go to convince Achav to go to war at Ramos Gilad? And Navos HaYisraeli's Ruach came up and said he would. And so Hashem said, how is he going to do it? And so the Ruach says that it would say a lie in the mouths of the Nevi'i Sheker, convincing him that Achav would win the war. And Hashem told the spirit to go, because that would persuade Achav to go out to war. And Achav had killed Navos through Nevi'i Sheker, and now he's going to, through Ede Sheker, and now he's going to die at the hands of Nevi'i Sheker. It's karma, as they like to say. It's Mida Keneged Mida. So Mechiyo then tells Achav that the word he got from the Nevi'i Sheker is all Ashgacha. Hashem is just turning around and bringing a Ra onto him. He's bringing evil onto him. That's why they said everything all at once. You should notice that. And his words almost had an impact on Achav, but the head in Sitkiyo ben Kenana got up, and he hits Mechiyo on the cheek, and he demands to know how the Ruach passed from him to Mechiyo. Sitkiyo says that he's the bigger Navi, and if Nevuah came from Shemayim, it would have gone through him. So it was impossible for Mechiyo to receive something that he hadn't. So Tzidkiyo said. And Achav said, oh, okay, now I don't have to listen to the Navi Emes. Right? So on the day of the battle, you're going to be hiding out of fear of being killed because you lied and caused Achav's death, Mechiyo tells Tzidkiyo. Right? And Achav orders that Mechiyo be brought to Ammon and to his son Yoash. And they were to put him in prison and give him only the smallest amount of food until Achav came back from war. And he says, if you come back alive, Hashem didn't speak to me. I made up everything. Let all the Shvatim hear this, Mechiyo tells Achav. So Achav and Yehoshaphat go out to Ramos Gilad to war. Achav tells Yehoshaphat that he's going to disguise himself, as the people of Aram might have heard the words of the Navi. And although Achav didn't believe the words of the Navi, he suspected maybe it could be true, right? And so he also thought that through the disguise, he could avoid Hashem's decree. So Achav tells Yehoshaphat he should remain in his royal garments. Since he was at peace with Aram, they wouldn't attack him. And not only that, the Nabis never said anything bad about Yehoshaphat. He had nothing to worry about. So Ben-Hadad tells him, don't go out into war. Only focus on the king, because once they kill him, the people would retreat. This order was not given out of mercy, it was a strategy. If the soldiers fight, and Achav would see that they were losing, he would try to run away. And so they would try to and so with this order, first the king would be killed, and then the battle would continue. The officers of Aram see a man dressed in royal garments, and leading the army, and thinking that was Achav, they approached him for war. And Yehoshaphat calls out to Hashem, and the officers of Aram recognize the voice. And they said, wait a minute, realizing that wasn't Achav, they held back. And one Arami soldier drew his bow and arrow out, not realizing that it was aimed at Achav, and the arrow pierced directly through the links in Achav's armor, and it penetrated his body, and nobody could have aimed so precisely. All they could do was see that this was from Shemayim. So Achav tells his chariot driver, take him away from the camp, because he's weak. He didn't say that he was hit by an arrow. He didn't want to frighten the soldiers. As Chazal tell us, Tchilas Nefila Nisa, the running off the battlefield is the beginning of the failure. And so although the king of Aram ordered the army to focus only on Achav, Fighting began to spread throughout the camp, and the battle rages through the day, and Achav is observing from the distance in order to keep the will of the people strong. And as he stood, his blood pooled inside the chariot, and at nightfall he died. So a call goes out to both camps that they should return to their lands, because Achav was dead, and the war was over. And some explain it was Achav who gave out this last call just before he died. Whatever it was, Am Yisrael rejoiced. There was no longer subjects of Achav, and they'd have to continue a battle. They didn't want to fight. In the meantime, Achav's body gets brought to Shomron, and he's buried there. And his chariot gets washed out by the pools of the Shomron, where Nabos had been killed. And the dogs licked the blood, and the Zonos bathed in the pool, and which is a major disgrace for the king. And others say the Zonos were bathing in Achav's blood refers to the images of the women that Izebel had placed inside the chariot, in a place that only he could see, and she did this to arouse him. And the blood was washed out in public, which shows this secret image to everybody. And so there was this tremendous wealth in Am Yisrael during the days of Achav. After all, Achav built a palace out of elephant ivory, says Rashi. And all that Achav did and built was written in the Divrei Hayamim of the king. Whatever it is, Achav's son Achazio rules for 2 years, and he continues in the way of his father and his mother, and the ways of Yeravam. Achazio served Baal, which made Hashem angry, and caused his Mida of Erech Abhayim to stop. And Achazio, we see in the name, he was Achaz, he held on to the ways of his father. In the meantime, on the other side of the fence, we also find Yehoshaphat, who began ruling over Yehuda at the age of 35, and he ruled for 25 years, and he followed in the ways of Asa. He stayed Yashar. He got rid of any Zonos. But the only thing he didn't do, like his father, was he continued with the Bamos. Raka Bamos Lo Saru. Those Bamos had been built L'Shem Shamayim, and in addition to the Bamos, Yehoshaphat also gets faulted for making peace with Malchus Yisrael. He shouldn't have joined in the evil with Achab. And so therefore, during his reign, although there was no king in Edom, there was just a governor that was appointed by Melech Yehuda. And that was instituted by David and continued until Yehoshaphat's son Yehoram takes over as king. And then Edom was going to rebel. And why is that? Because while Asa and Yehoshaphat were good people, Yehoram was not. And we're going to see that as we continue. Yehoshaphat joins with Achazio in sending a fleet of ships to Ophir to bring back gold. They were shipwrecked before they got to Ophir. And Achazio wanted Yehoshaphat to send a second fleet, but after being told by the Navi not to do so, Yehoshaphat refused. He recognized that the ships were destroyed because he had joined with the Rasha. And after Yehoshaphat dies, Yehoram takes over in his place. And this is where Malachim Aleph ends, and Bezos Hashem on Sunday, we will turn around and start Malachim Beis. Everyone have a great week.